This book is called Emmanuel, and it's written by Dr. Bob Lieb. And the book is dedicated to my chatty fourth son, sixth child, Nathaniel, on his 12th birthday. The story is set a few miles east of the city of Beth Shemesh, House of the Sun, approximately 12 miles southwest of Jerusalem, the holy city of God. It begins 400 years after the prophet Malachi said, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." Malachi 4:4. Chapter 1 is called Zophar. On a cold spring evening, freshly blanketed with the last late snow, an old rickety wagon driven by two milk kine across the gentle sloping hill country of Judah had just arrived at a little farmhouse buried deep in the woods of Beth Shemesh. It began its journey the night before from Ajalon. Wiping the sleep from his eyes, little Zophar couldn't figure out why everyone was rushing around him. "Where's Mama?" he called out. There was no answer. Stretching and yawning in that cold wagon littered with hay, Zophar reached for his old friend and companion, Whitey, a stuffed animal he'd owned ever since he could remember. Somehow Whitey, who looked more like a goat than a sheep, and now, years later, like a bundle of rags, was mysteriously missing. Still shaking the sleep from off his face, Zophar was unaware of why he was waking up at Grandma's house, or so he thought, by the smell of the animals they kept, a smell he hadn't experienced for at least half his lifetime. In fact, just last week he added it up. "I'm 9 1/2," he thought. "Only 3 1/2 more years till my bar mitzvah." As they were ushering him in from the cold, Zophar again calls out, "Mama, where's Mama?" The impact of this quick move from the city to the country was something Zophar wouldn't understand for years to come. Sadly, he would learn the reason for the move in the next few moments. "Honey, sit down here," Milcah said. "Sit down next to Grandma. I'm so glad to see you, Zo. You grew up so much, a big man like your father." Now, directing her attention to all in the room, she adds, "Look how big he got." "I don't remember, Daddy. He's with Jehovah, remember, Grandma?" As Milcah looked at the ground to find an answer for Zophar, he continued asking, "Grandma, where's Mama? I miss her so much. Where is she?" Silently pleading with the Lord for an answer, Milcah says, "Honey, the loneliness you feel in your heart for your mama is the same loneliness your daddy has been feeling for a long time from Sheol. A few nights ago, your daddy asked her to come and join him there. Now they're both together, happy and at peace." Profusely crying, Zophar says, "Yeah, but now I miss her too. Mama, I miss you," he calls out. "Come back, Mama, visit me." "Honey, one day you too will see Mama again. You'll join them both. But today, you'll live here with me and the rabbi. You remember him, don't you? He still talks about you all the time. I don't know if anyone else ever told you," she continued. "When you were born, he's the one that named you. You know what your name means, don't you? Some say Zophar means chatty. And from what I've seen of you, there's no doubt in my mind you've lived up to that name. Anyway, the rabbi is away for a few days, but I know when he returns, he'll be glad to see you again, just like me." Wiping his tears as he begins to accept his fate, Zophar puts his arms around Milcah and sweetly says, "Grandma, I love you." Milcah answers, "Honey, I love you. I love you." Inexplicably, in those few moments, the baton of motherhood was passed on to Milcah, forever fusing these two together as surrogate mother and as surrogate son. The next morning, Zophar, who was woken early by the roosters, attempted to venture out to the stable to see if he could catch any of them still crowing. "It's so cold," he thought, making his second attempt to go out. This time he grabbed the rabbi's old tattered talus that Milcah covered him with the night before, as the fire in the fireplace was cooling. "I'll just put the rabbi's talus over my head," he thought. "That'll warm me up." And just as silly as young boys can be, covering his head with that warm, reassuring cloth, he skipped his way to the stable, ever listening for the sounds that drew him outside to begin with. When he arrived, he was so enamored at all the animals he saw, he almost forgot his mission. "Hey, rooster, where are you? Make some noise so I can find you." The only sounds he heard were coming from a few annoyed cows that were, like him, awakened early by the rooster. "I missed it," he thought. "All that work for nothing." Discouraged and determined to make his way back to the house, Zophar observed a big pile of snow that had lingered on the north side of the fence a week before he arrived. His boyish nature surfaced again, and without a second thought, he grabbed a handful of snow from that muddy pile to retest the strength of his throwing arm. As he reached down, he thought, "This isn't snow. It feels like..." Suddenly, and without warning, he felt movement by his feet and legs. It startled him so much he slipped into the snow. As he sat up, he looked straight ahead, seeing a snow-covered figure with two big black dots staring right back at him. Before he could determine what was happening, this figure jumped up and started shaking the snow off his body. Zophar needed no further explanation. It was a little lamb. A baby lamb, he thought. In the same moment it took his mind to process what just happened, he came up with a name for his new-found friend. "You're so perfect and so white," he reasoned out loud. "I'm going to call you Sheshai, clothed in white." Missing his stuffed animal, he continued, "I'll just call you Whitey," he blurted out. Then he remembered where he got that name to begin with. He remembered someone years before quoting the prophet Isaiah saying, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What a perfect name, he thought. He's got white wool, and I found him in the snow. Watching him shiver, Zophar calmly asked, "How you doing, fella? Are you cold?" As if to answer him, Whitey bleats and snuggles up to his side under the rabbi's talus that's perched on his head. For the next hour or so, Zophar and Whitey sit near that pile of snow, loving each other and showing each other their mutual affection. Suddenly, they hear, "Zophar! Zophar, where are you?" "Grandma's calling," Zophar said. "I better get going. Don't worry, I'll be back soon. I love you, and I'll be back soon. You can count on me." Now, safely inside the rabbi's home, Milka says, "Zophar, where you been?" "Grandma, I went out to find the rooster, but I never did find him." Milka flies back. "You need to be real careful when you go out to the stable. You never know what tools are lying around." "I was real careful, Grandma. I don't want to get hurt either." Then Zophar thinks to ask, "Hey, Grandma, I found a little baby sheep in the stable, but I never did see his mother." "Honey, a few days before you came, the little sheep's mama died. We've been trying to feed it with goat's milk, but had very little success. I think if he doesn't eat soon, he too might die." Zophar's heart sank. "Grandma, what can I do?" "Pray, baby, pray. Ask Jehovah to keep Emmanuel alive. Maybe that old goat will let him suckle just long enough to make it to spring." "Emmanuel? Who's Emmanuel?" Zophar asked. "Emmanuel, the lamb in the stable, right?" "That's the animal we're talking about here, aren't we? That's his name, you know. Or that's what the rabbi named him anyway, the day he was born. If I remember right, the rabbi was reading through some precious promises in Scripture of the coming Messiah. I have it memorized. Let me see if I can quote it to you. Oh yeah, now I remember. 'Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.' Do you know what that name means, Zophar?" Zophar shakes his head no. Milka finishes, "It means God is with us. When the Messiah comes, he will be with us. And when we see him, we will recognize who he is." Grandma, you know so much about Jehovah. I want to know more, too. Honey, when the rabbi comes home, he will teach you a lot of things about Jehovah. Desiring to see the baby lamb again, Zophar's boyish nature, and, more exactly, his fallen nature, got the best of him. So he made up a story, a lie, to go back out to the stable. But what Zophar didn't know was that Milcah, if asked, would have gladly given him permission to see Emmanuel. I'll be back soon, Grandma. I love you. Zophar raced back to the stable, only to find his new little friend weak and barely able to stand. Crying out to Jehovah, he prayed, Lord, help me. Please, show me how to help Whitey. Moments later, Zophar heard a shrill bleating. It was the family goat, a doe whose kids were just weaned. This must be the goat Grandma was talking about, Zophar thought. And without a second thought, like an experienced rancher, Zophar went into action. He grabbed an old rope, lassoed the goat, and walked it over to Whitey. After tying the rope to the fence, he proceeded to round the goat up to Whitey. Almost immediately, Whitey began to suckle. The rest, as they say, is history. Just like Grandma had adopted him the day before, this goat became the surrogate for this baby lamb. Ecstatic by what he had just experienced, Zophar fell on his knees in the snow to pray. Thank you, Lord, for sparing Whitey. I love him, Lord. Help him to live a long, long life. And Lord, bless Grandma and this old mama goat who adopted me and that adopted Whitey. When the last ray of sunlight hid itself for the evening, Zophar thought to return home. Just inside the house, he saw an old wooden tub filled with steamy water. Wouldn't you know it, he thought. Grandma has a bath waiting for someone, and I bet it's just waiting for me. Is that you, Rabbi? Milcah said. It's only me, Grandma. It's only me. Even though he figured out already that the bath he was staring at was for him, he suspiciously asked anyway, Hey, Grandma, what's the water in the tub doing by the fireplace? Waiting to hear what he thinks is the inevitable, Milcah replies, Oh, that's the rabbi's bath. It's the fifth day of the week, isn't it? He's got to get ready for Shabbat. Stunned and relieved, all at the same time, that Milcah's soaking spring of suds wasn't prepared for him. After all, he thought, it's only been 2 weeks since my last bath. He repeats back to her what she said to him. Oh, good, that's the rabbi's bath. The rabbi's bath, ready for Shabbat. Right, Grandma? Looking at the water, he continued, So, when's the rabbi coming home? Soon, she said. You get ready, too. Take a cloth and use that bath water to wash your face and hands, so maybe when the rabbi comes, he'll be able to recognize you behind all that dirt and mud. There's some kali on the middle shelf. Use it to get clean. Painstakingly lifting the cloth that was neatly sitting over the side of the tub, Zophar tries to work up the conviction necessary to obey the task before him. Oh boy, I'm clean enough, he thinks to himself. As he cautiously begins to baptize the cloth in water, he calls out, Do I gotta use this kali too? That's woman's stuff, you know. With no answer from Milcah, Zophar, witnessing his two hands betray him, right before his eyes, continued his task. Suddenly, he hears a sound at the front door. Relieved that he is granted a stay of execution, he drops the mixture of poisonous pleasantry into the water and runs to see who's at the door. Before he can get there, it swings open wide. Who's this? He hears in a commanding voice. Before he has a chance to answer, Milcah calls from across the room. That's Abigail's boy, your grandson. You remember Zophar, don't you? Look at him, he's all grown up. Then Milcah said to Zophar, Honey, give your grandpa a big hug. Before she could finish her sentence, Milcah realized that Zophar hadn't finished the task of cleaning himself. Amazingly, she reached out before he touched the rabbi, grabbing both Zophar and the unused soapy washcloth left floating in the water, and all at once made a clean work of it all. There, that's better, she said. Not for me, Zophar thought. Now, finishing her sentence, Milcah concluded, Go hug your grandpa. As if heaven and earth had met together for the very first time, These two virtual strangers, remember it's been years since they've even seen each other, gave one another a respectful and endearing hug. "That was nice," the rabbi said. "It's so good to see you again. And Milka's right, you've gotten so big." "I told you," Milka interrupts. "There's Abigail," said the rabbi. "There's your mama." Zophar began to sob. "See what you've done," said Milka. "Done? What did I do?" said the rabbi. Focusing her attention on Zophar, she concluded, "I'll tell you later." The next section is called Shabbat. That evening, the Shabbat arrived, and everyone, dressed in their best clothes, was sitting around the table. All eyes were on the rabbi, who began to pray. Oh my. Baruch Ada Adonai. The other nine men who formed the quorum joined in. Since Zophar wasn't raised to be as religious as the rabbi, he wasn't able to recite the prayers he later learned were part of the service dedicated to his deceased mother. Those prayers would be offered up three times a day for the next 4 weeks. After services were over and the last good yontif was said, Zophar made it a point to get some questions answered. "Rabbi, do you have services here every week?" "Ah, yes," the rabbi responded. "We have services here every Shabbat." Thinking Zophar had more to get off his chest, the rabbi continued, "What are your other concerns?" "Do we ever go to temple?" "I just returned from there for Passover. Since you are now part of this family, you will go with me next time at Pentecost. And we will go again at the end of the year, at the Feast of Tabernacles." With the rabbi answering his questions about spiritual things, Zophar couldn't help himself from asking him a question about his mother. "Rabbi, with all the prayers we are praying to Jehovah about Mama, will I see her again?" At first, the rabbi took his time to respond, but because of the seriousness of the question, quickly comes up with an answer. "Our God is a good God," he said. "He will let us see our loved ones again. We will see them again one day in the great resurrection." Thinking that Zophar still has another unanswered question about Abigail, the rabbi continues, "It looks like you have another question. Don't worry, say on." With his best speaking voice, Zophar blurts out, "Did the Messiah come yet?" Almost shocked at the change of venue, the rabbi raises his bushy eyebrows and just as quickly lowers them, answering, "Soon, my son. He will come soon."